I'm good.
Couldn't resist.
I like it.
It's radio fishing. It's coming at you from under the water. It's another episode of Robert's Walk Around the Harbor. Robert's Walk Around the Harbor.
That's nice.
Yes.
That's nice.
Well, at least then you go, yeah, buddy, it's Robert's Walk Around the Harbor, don't you know?
Yeah.
You know, hey, man, we go walk around the harbor. Okay. So, anyway, we're going to do a fishing report, okay? Where are we going to even start? I mean, it was so cold. Now it's so beautiful and sunny. And, yeah, both of us have bad dry coughs. You guys just going to have to, we'll do the best we can not to break your eardrums with it.
Right.
Especially Robert. Robert's got the most violent burst of cough. I mean, if he wasn't being polite, putting anything in his arm, he would have just broke your eardrums. You know, I'm a little more subdued, but then again, I'm old. You know, I don't have the power to crush an eardrum with a cough anymore. So, where do you want to start, Robert? We've had it, I mean, cold and miserable, rainy. Now it's warm and sunny with a little bit of clouds going back and forth.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice change. I mean, compared to the Seattle feel of all last week.
Oh, that was just horrible. I lived out in Portland, out in Oregon, spent a lot of time Oregon and Washington State. And yeah, that's what it was like.
Cold, miserable. It boggles my mind, though, how quickly people's attitudes change in the short period of time with the dark weather.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
look at me. I was screaming at everybody.
How fortunate we are where we have 320 days out of the year of sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
at least 300 days a year.
Yeah. I mean, and to have a few days of doom and gloom, it's kind of a nice change to an extent, but the personality changes of everybody across the board is weird.
So,
I don't realize how spoiled and fortunate we really are.
How did the personality of the fishes change over the course of the last couple of days here? Did the personality of the fish change? Are they pleasant, accommodating, or are they being a morose bunch of fish that just don't want to cooperate?
Kind of a combination of both. I mean, there's fish all over the harbor. I would start at probably like around the 75 and 41 bridge area. To start off with, the whiting have picked up a little bit more.
And a lovely place to start. It is a lovely place to start.
Nice.
Yes.
It's the whiting.
I'm not trying to break your concentration
I'm
there,
just
Robert.
Trying to keep from coughing.
Okay, 41 I-75. We got whiting.
Whiting, some silver trout, some speckled trout cooperating a little bit. There's been some juvenile black drum and redfish have moved up underneath some of those docks on both sides of the river in between the two bridges.
Yeah, Barb's not here, so I can enjoy a little nicotine during the show.
There you go. You know? It's pretty decent, but it is still tough. I mean, even though the water temperature's come up almost 5 degrees in the past couple few days, it's been better fishing in the afternoon than the early morning.
And well, I'm going to say that 5 degrees surface temp. I think once you're down 10, five feet down, it's still the same. But
absolutely.
The cool thing is that most of the flats are not 5 feet deep.
Right, exactly.
So you're jumping a good increase every afternoon. Kale was out yesterday. He did okay in the morning. Really had a big afternoon bite. That water warmed up great. And he said with that sunshine, the fishing was great. He pulled 50 fish out of one area, six species.
There you go.
So...
yeah, I've had mixed reports. Roger Harris was in here this morning, and he got into some fish that started to chew in the afternoon. Most of his better redfish chewed early, mid-morning, and then lacked off. And then he got into some better trout, some sheep's head in the afternoon. And then the other guys are all saying most of their stuff's been from like 11 o'clock until about 2 o'clock, kind of the major time for their feeds. And then it's slacking off, but they're working hard at it. They're seeing a lot of fish. Just not getting them to chew. Haven't been able to dial in that right bait.
Well, we had a guy, I talked to him this morning, and he said he was catching trout, but there were smaller ones. He was catching fish, but mostly smaller ones. But he said chartreuse was the big thing.
Yeah.
And he's chartreuse heads were, or chartreuse tail. If you're going to throw something with it, you know, some kind of color, but get a bright chartreuse, bright green color on the tail or the head. And he says the it was significantly better. And that was an afternoon. So I think that little bit, slight murk to the water, that bright spot.
Right.
You know, let's face it, girl looks good in a black bikini, but, you know, you can, it, she's got a bright green one on, you can see her from a quarter mile away, you know? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Well, in the water. Boy, you are sick. You are just like dying over there.
I was just having a visual there. The thing is, water clarity is so unbelievable, and from day to day it seems to be clearing up in a lot of other spots. You know, you go to, let's say, Colony Point today, the visibility is only, say, like 5 feet, but tomorrow it might be 6 feet. It's changing drastically from day to day because these cooler waters.
Well, we got water coming down the river. The Peace River's at 4 or 5 foot now, so
that rain helped.
That rain's bringing it down. It's going to muck up dark tint the west side of the harbor. The east side's going to get clearer. You're going to be able to fish the dark water in the west side, the clear water in the east side. But speaking of that, what's going on in Port Charlotte Canals?
Port Charlotte Canals have got a lot of small snook in them, some nicer trout at the entrances. Not good numbers, but, you know, with any big trout, they're more solitary animals anyway, so you never expect to catch good numbers of them. But Grassy Point Canal, the Port Charlotte Beach Complex, all those canals right there, the first 100 yards or so have been holding some better trout. A few incidental redfish, a lot of mangrove snapper, some small sheep's head, barely legal size guys. And still hearing a couple miscellaneous reports of some croaker here and there.
And working our way around that way, let's go to the Myakka Cutoff. Anything going on over in the Cutoff, Myakka River area?
Right at the mouth of the Cutoff is your typical little trout right there at the front, just inside that little bar there at the entrance. Up inside, more towards the back, towards Tippy Canoe area, a little bit better redfish, a few snook, been a lot of mangrove snapper scattered throughout the whole thing up in there. And then on the Hog Island side, on the Myakka side around Hog Island, there's still been a lot of pompanos kind of skipping around there, some redfish and sheep's head out there on the grass flats.
What's Eljo doing?
Eljo's doing real good, mostly at night for your bigger mangrove snapper and some bigger trout. During the daytime, it's been sheep's head and smaller trout with some smaller mangroves. There's been a couple cobia this week, too, caught off there, and some smaller jacks. That's the other thing is I've started to hear in just the last 2 days the cobia that are all over the place scattered.
Yeah.
Be ready for them. You know, it's still early, but from the looks of it so far, even though they might be smaller, there's been so many consistent little droves of cobia coming through. A couple weeks ago, it was pretty hot at the Alligator Creek Reef where it was semi-consistent. Most of them were smaller, but still there. Hearing reports out along the beaches, I mean, everywhere, offshore, inshore, intercoastal with cobia. It wouldn't surprise me if we have a super phenomenal spring this year with cobia because of how many reports I'm hearing.
Our next fishing club is all about cobia. Been the best year in 15 years on cobia. I think it's going to get nothing but better. There's too many little cobia in the harbor. Even when we had the cold weather, we're still getting sporadic reports of them. I think those bigger fish are just sitting right offshore waiting for a couple of degrees, and they'll be in.
Yeah, when we get to the offshore part, I'm going to talk about that because I've had some killer.
All right, well, let's go down the west wall. I know there's been redfish scattered sporadically along the west wall. Anything on the outside of the bar?
Some pompano, a lot of bonnet heads, a few trout.
One thing I can tell you for sure is there's a bunch of sheephead over along, scattered up along the west side, and a lot of the different, if you've got a little cut under the mangrove, you're going to find some really nice big sheephead there. There's some good trout back up along the trees. Really surprised by that, but
yeah. That just tells you that there's not very many snook over there if they're up close to the bushes like
right.
that.
Right. If those trout are up there, there's no big snook laying in there. I think it got too cold. They got smart and went off. We're not going to have those big dead losses. We don't have those stupid, you know, idiotic fish that never learned how to leave the flats.
Right.
These fish are the hardier, smarter ones. They're not as lazy. They're not as stupid. But as you get around Cape Hayes, there is more snook along that shoreline there at Cape Hayes.
Yeah, there is.
And some redfish back in Muddy Bay, from what I hear.
Yeah, some good good redfish back in there. Carl, I guess, and Greg went back there and saw a lot of fish. Didn't catch a lot, but they saw a lot of nice fish.
Yeah, just a couple of degrees will fix that.
Absolutely. And then out on the flats on Cape Hayes, there's a ton of really nice bonnet heads, some pompano, a lot of small trout, but if you just want to bend the rod and entertain your family, it's a good bet to fish. I would fish the Cape Hayes side of Turtle Bay entrance along that trough there.
Yeah.
Staying up on there rather than the Muddy Bay side of it, because that's a little bit shallower and a little bit funkier to navigate around.
Yeah.
But you get on that trough, the deeper
go
trough
around
side.
Cape Hayes Bar and get to the side in front of Turtle Bay, and that's been holding fish quite a bit better than the other side, which is kind of a reverse. But it makes more sense because of the river flowing down.
Yeah.
They're going to jump the other side of that bar because that's a whole different water than what's going to be on the harbor side of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
But Turtle Bay, a lot of big snook up inside on the open flat. We've got redfish in the back end.
Yep.
Some snook over by the Eagle's Nest from what I've been hearing in that deeper cut there.
Same way, some good redfish too in that same spot. And then the trout are still scattered in all those sand holes throughout the whole thing. A lot of sheep's head mixed in with them too out there in those sand holes. And Gallagher's Cut right there has been holding a lot of sheep's head.
Gallagher's Cut. But you got to be the first one there.
Oh, yeah.
It's
one, a little tiny, tiny spot.
And then you're done, but there's always fish there.
Yeah.
It's way too deep, way too clear, just the perfect little environment for fish. But I think one of the reasons is because it's so small, and you can only get one or two boats in there, and everybody else has to sit outside and wait for them to leave.
Right.
But if you go around in front of Bull Bay, we've got some pompano in front of there, a lot of little trout at the entrances.
And some schools of redfish, too, cruising out in front there between the oyster bar at Turtle Bay going into Bull Bay. I found that whole, that sand flat that kind of drops off just a little bit. All those fish have been kind of cruising along there. There's also been a few flounder being caught off of that whole entire flat along with the other guys. Not a lot, but enough for an incidental catch to make it worthwhile.
Well,
and then Turtle Bay, same kind of thing, or Bull Bay, same thing as Turtle Bay. There's a lot of sheep's head right there at the entrance with some good mangrove snapper. A lot of smaller redfish way in the back by those boathouses. A few gag grouper being caught back in there, and some much bigger snook back in there too.
Now, how's the tailing flats doing? Because when you go from Devilfish up to towards Placida, they call that area the tailing flats. And anything going on out there?
A lot of small redfish over in there. I haven't heard of any real good quality fish, and I'm not sure if it's because of the tides or what. But
I think combination of cold and tides.
Yeah. Mostly it's been trout guys drifting for trout right along the edge of the intercoastal. Some Spanish mackerel have showed up over there because they kind of disappeared for about a week or so. Little bluefish. That's about it over there. It's been real sporadic.
How about Placida trussel?
Placida trussel's ate up with sheep's head right now. A lot of nicer sheep's head. Some good mangrove snapper, bonnet heads, bluefish, Spanish mackerel, kind of the whole nine yards.
Yeah, just get him another one. That's got to be Lee's daughter, right? Yeah, first day out with a little pink rod and slammed it in a live well lid.
Whoops.
Whoops. So we get her another one. We'll take care of that. Anyway, sorry we do business and talk on the show. It's the way it goes. But going from there up through the intercoastal, a lot of redfish along the eastern shoreline, but I think trout and sheephead have been hanging out on the island side.
Yeah,
on the western edge of that intercoastal.
Yeah, definitely some better sheep's head and trout over there, and then the redfish are underneath all the docks too, and still the same scenario. They're wanting the cut pinfish. Doesn't matter if it's frozen or fresh cut, but they're taking the frozen pinfish, then shrimp. Live pinfish are not producing as well as you would think they would be for right now.
I still can't get over it. It's been years since we've used cut pinfish to any degree, and this year it's just going off the charts.
Yeah,
amazing.
I'm just not sure if it's just because it's something old that somebody found and trying to make new again, or just, like everything else kind of goes in and out of fashion.
I think it's just fashion. I think if people would have used it, but everybody gets hung up on a particular type of fish, and everybody's been throwing ladyfish for the last few years.
And 4 years ago it was sardines. The last 2 years has been ladyfish.
Yep. So, you know, the ladyfish just had the recognition factor. Mm-hmm. I think they always work, but it's just weird to see it coming back again and how big the whole pinfish thing is getting. But going up around the Lemon Bay, I know there's still quite a bit of sheephead up there. A few flounder from what I heard right off the coast.
Yeah, a few flounder. The whiting, still the same. They're kind of scattered from all on the beaches from up in Venice all the way down, you know, to Redfish Pass, basically. But they seem to be in isolated little pockets.
How about stargazers?
I haven't seen any of those. Her heard
Is it
of those
stargazer?
Ones. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just making sure I got the right fish.
Yeah.
One with the electric shock on the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of any of those around for a little bit. Always an incidental weird one like that.
Mm-hmm. I remember back in the 80s it was very common, but then when we did that whole flood year or whatever it was, but for some reason or another, just not many anymore.
Well, same way with those look downs. You very rarely see or hear of anyone catching those, whether it's in a hook or cast net, you know, the moonfish or whatever you want to call them.
Right.
They're neat.
M16 or M15 is just going crazy right now if you're fishing out in the Gulf. It's very, very close. It's between Gasparilla Pass and Stump Pass up there, and they're going nuts up there.
Same way with Palm Island Ferry. The AJs are doing real good. Some bonita scattered around out there. A lot of Spanish mackerel. Not a lot, but I guess enough to make it worthwhile. The mangroves, grunts, and porgies are ate up all over on them.
Trembly, Novak, the yeah. Power poles, all of them. I was doing a thing with Shark Monster, and he says these inshore reefs are just loaded with fish. He says it's unbelievable.
Well, not only that, but the other two things that
near
shore, yeah. The other two things that are really cool that's going on out there is the cobia are schooling up in little schools from Minnesota, actually Caspersen's Beach.
Yeah.
South of Venice there, all the way down the entire coast down to Redfish. Guys are catching 10 to 50 pounders. I mean, there's a good variety of cobia, little schools.
Now, give you guys a clue. Watch for a brown patch in the water. When you're going along the shore and you're running your boat, have somebody keep their eyes down and watch for the bottom to turn kind of a brownish tan in areas. They can get so thick, it will look like a brown patch on the bottom.
Absolutely. Or sometimes even right on the surface. We saw them that one year where they were just scattered. It looked like seagrass and patches all over for as far as you could see of 20 to 100 fish in a school.
And there, that kind of number's out there. So the cobia fishing, if you've got a chance, if you live out there in Englewood and you're so close to the Gulf right there, jump in the boat, run out, and go out a mile or two, stay within sight of land, and just kind of keep your eyes open. And kind of like triple tail hunting, you know, you're going to go looking for them.
Triple tail's another one. There's been a lot of good reports on triple tail out there this past week.
Really?
Josh has actually went out on a mission today to go triple tail with his clients just because he's had three different guys tell him how phenomenal it's been out there, both north and south of Boca. The other thing, too, that's going off that he's going to go try to check out is permit. We've had three different guys this week talking about permit.
And
one of his buddies yesterday got a 35-pounder and has a picture with probably 50 permit right behind his boat.
Wow. Yeah. Now, the thing about it is, guys, don't be afraid to freeline a shrimp into them. Leave the sinkers off. Freeline, light split shots. You got to let that... if you got crabs, that's perfect. If not, throw shrimp.
Yeah.
And just little, but they got to drift through them. They can't fall through it. They got to drift down into them. And they'll hit them on the slow fall, but they're not going to hit them with a sinker on them.
And the number one mistake that people make with permit, too, is you're drifting, or even if you're anchored over a reef, you got to use a light drag with permit. If you use a hard drag, they want to dive down into the structure and either break you off or get eaten by a Goliath grouper, Jewfish. But if you use a lighter drag, they
tend amazing.
To...
How many years ago did they change that, Goliath? But, I mean, it's just...
It's still a hard thing.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know one person from any church of the Goliath that has a problem with it.
Exactly. But if you use a lighter drag, they'll actually swim diagonally away from you. You know, they don't want to always dive down into that structure, but when you put too much heat on them, they just want to sound on you, and that's where everyone breaks off on permit.
Yeah, as far as I know, the bigger ones, it's the one fish that I think the bigger ones are not as good as eating the smaller ones.
Right. I'd like to just catch one.
Yeah, we got to head out there. My boat's got to get fired up. I'm tired of being landbound.
Yeah.
It's killing me.
Go out there and chase some triple tail and some permit.
So, pretty much all the way down the coast. And anything going on beaches, Sanibel, Captiva, anything down there?
No, I haven't heard too much in the shark-wise. Down in the passes down there and from Boca all the way down, the passes have got some really good mangrove snapper bites still going good. At night, there's been a few bigger bull reds. Not a lot, but enough for incidental catches. A lot of small red grouper and some legal gag grouper, but you can't keep the gags. And that's about it as far as the passes go and the nearshore beaches, because I haven't heard a whole lot consistent down there.
Anything Caloosahatchee-wise?
No, just some good whiting down there right at the southern tip of Sanibel.
Yeah,
that's been the only one that's been consistent with the whiting.
5 more degrees and that Caloosahatchee is going to light up with the snook fishing. It's going to be amazing.
I would think it'd be amazing.
St. James City.
A lot of trout down there on the point around the mangrove shoreline and some of those deeper sand holes. Some better redfish underneath the bushes. Nothing consistent, just very scattered. One fish here, two fish there. Going up into the intercoastal just a little bit north of St. James City, there's been a lot of pompano and bonnet heads, and then a few redfish around Captiva Rocks.
So, Matt Lachey, anything up there?
Matt Lachey, all I've heard about is some small sheep's head and some juvenile redfish. Nothing really exceptional that I've heard of. You know, it's been kind of quiet. I don't know where our Matt Lachey guys have been. I haven't heard a whole lot there lately.
South of there, they've been doing pretty good on the trout. Just before you get down to the Caloosahatchee through some of those slow zones, been some nice trout fishing down there.
Oh, there you go.
But coming up north, Two Pines, Burnt Store, Indian Fields, anywhere around there?
A lot of trout, some pompano scattered again. So there's been a few better redfish around Two Pines. No great numbers, but it seems like the ones they're finding are a little bit better, like in that upper end, that 25 to 27 inch range. Most of those there again are either being caught on the cut pin fish, but they've also been doing really good on those the mirror lure dart.
The Little John?
Little John's.
Yeah, Little John's
still
been kicking
really,
butt down
really
there.
Good.
Yeah. I'm really curious to try the Little John Rockport. We got them to fit. You need a fingernail file, but with the fingernail file, they work. Without it, no, it doesn't work.
Right.
But
I'd be curious to see how well it works with that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But coming up the east side of the harbor, inside the bar back by the Keys, there's got to be redfish back there. There's got to be. I don't know what would keep them from being redfish. It's going to be clear. You've got that water coming in and out of the Gulf. It's still a little chilly over there.
Yeah, I'm hearing of a lot of guys seeing them, but they're working their butts off to get them to chew. Behind Hobbs Point, mouth of Pirate Harbor, just north of there, even where Two Tits used to be, that little trough.
Mastectomy
right there.
Island.
Yeah, they're seeing them, but they're just not getting to cooperate very consistently. There have been some juvenile tarpon in Pirate Harbor where they've been getting, you know, a couple guys have been catching those with some trout and some pompano, but not super consistent. And what they have been catching has been a little bit on the smaller side.
Well, outside the bar on the east side.
Spanish mackerel and bluefish, and then a few bigger trout if the guys are drifting and working it real slow in the deeper holes.
Now, Alligator Creek has had trout in it pretty steady. Is that holding?
Yeah, a lot of little trout there at the mouth of Alligator and going up inside a little ways. If you go back a little bit farther past the Riviera Oyster Bar there, there's been a few bigger trout.
And you get up in the Burnt Store Isles and those canals, that's where the big trout have been here.
Yeah. Some bigger trout all through there, some bigger mangrove snapper in there too. There's also been some little bit better jacks in like the 6 to 10 pound range. Not a lot, but definitely better quality fish.
It's a ride, but if you're living in that area, I wouldn't go out to go fishing. I would fish where you are rather than running the boat past the fish to go to less fish.
Yeah.
And
less fish and smaller fish.
Going into PGI canals, what's the jacks doing? I haven't heard anything about jacks in a while.
Just a few little ones there in Colony Point, and then right up inside at the right as it opens up into the houses and ponds. There've been some little guys in there, but it's kind of gotten quiet with the jacks. More guys are seeing some of the juvenile tarpon in the last few days with this warmer weather. It's gotten them a little bit more active. The mangrove snapper are still real consistent, but they're still pretty small. Black drum, they've gotten a little bit smaller, but it's more the table fair size. You know, they're like that 8 to 12 pound range.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's what you want out of a black drum this time of year. The water's cold. They're going to have very few parasites, if any, and excellent meat. Boy, yeah. That stuff is good.
Yeah, and just use shrimp or peel shrimp, you know, even those little guys like that peel
now that,
shrimp.
That got me kind of started thinking, because I was sitting there thinking about it, and black drum, a lot of times I use a marinade on there, and if you use some kind of marinade that would taste good with shrimp and put the marinade on them and lay the shrimp on them, you know, flip to one side and then cook it and then cook it right with the shrimp and everything, God, that would be good.
Stuffed shrimp.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of interesting.
Think about that black drum, because it's so firm. It's such
yeah.
Good flavor on the meat. More like, well, I don't know. Enough daydreaming. Going back onto the thing, coming back out. artificial reef and concrete reef out in front
whole
of
a lot of small cobia there, some Spanish mackerel and bluefish.
Now, if there's cobia at the concrete reef, Alligator Creek Reef, they should be out at marker one, too.
Should be. They should be, but I haven't heard. Most of the guys ignore all those markers this time of year because there's no bait there, so why do they want to stop? It's kind of funny. It's a totally obvious piece of structure that holds fish year-round.
And marker one is huge. I mean, four-post, big, heavy overhead structure, great place for triple tail, cobia, everything.
Yeah, and deep water right behind it on the harbor, harbor side of it.
If I'm going anywhere within a quarter mile, I swing in and look.
Yeah, you know, it's always worth
I'll take a quarter, half a mile sidetrack to go get check it out. Anyway, marker two, the same thing. Spanish mackerel a little bit, some cobia out there. And a lot of
little sugar trout and silver trout in there, too, if you're real patient and you want to use the small pieces of shrimp. There's a lot of those guys hanging around there, and they're fun on light tackle, and they're good eating.
I take my crappie rods, crappie hooks. Tip them with a little piece of shrimp and throw the, you know, same as I'm fishing for crappie, believe it or not. I use the same rod, same reel, same line, same hooks.
Absolutely.
And they're a great little fish to flay up. The little sugar trout. Silver trout are good, but the little sugar trout, they look more like a perch. And it's a two-bite fillet, but, oh, tasty little sucker.
Yeah, you get enough of them, it can be well worthwhile, just like perch, you know, I mean. Guys go out and catch 30, 40, 50 perch, and it's the same principle. It's
so
worth it.
What else do we got to talk about here?
All this rain really got the little spillways along 41 and along Hillsboro. And
Tarpon,
snook, bass, all the canals up there off of Price Road and off of Hillsboro have all got bluegill going crazy. The bass have been kind of going okay.
There should be a bunch of crappie with them, yeah.
Yeah, still mixed numbers of the crappie, but the guys have been catching some bigger crappie, like 14, 15 inches pretty consistently, just not super good numbers.
Yeah, but still, you get three or four nice 15-inch crappie, you've got a heck of a meal there.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I wouldn't worry about the numbers. I'd go grab a couple of those.
Well, not only that, but you're getting some bigger bluegill, some smaller bass, kind of a mixed variety of things. So, you could have yourself a smorgasbord going on.
Take two rods and throw one out with worms on it, one out with minnows on it.
Yep.
Because the bluegills and stuff will eat the minnows, but they don't eat them as readily as the crappie. And the crappie will eat the worms, but they don't eat them as readily as they eat the minnows.
Right.
So, I'd have two floats out. One with a worm, one with a minnow.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and move from spot to spot. But if you can find that a couple of localized spots where the water's moving, they've been doing pretty good on them.
I'd take a chartreuse beetle spin out and just throw it, and anything will hit it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a beetle spin, you pretty much can't lose on that. Bass, bluegill, crappie, they'll all kind of whack that.
Yeah, anything will eat a beetle spin.
Problem is, it's usually an 8-pound bass that straightens out your hook.
I can deal with that too, because I don't eat bass. I'll eat the crappies, I eat the bluegills, but bass is to me like hearted catfish. You get one fillet that's great, the next one's kind of iffy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not consistent enough. And
not consistent at all.
I don't want to kill anything if I'm not going to eat it.
Right.
I have no problem eating fish. I think it's a great healthy thing to do. Two things I don't want to do is kill something without eating it. And the second thing is fill my freezer up with a lot of fish that I haven't eaten. Right. If I got one or two fish dinners, that's it.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting any more in until I've eaten those. We live here in Florida. You got 350 days to go fishing.
Exactly.
You know, so we got 20 days a year that it's not good fishing. Big deal.
Yeah, I don't think any of us will starve to death in that small amount of time.
I'm getting thinner, though.
You look good, too.
I could waste away in days now instead of weeks or months. You know.
Yeah, it looks good, too.
Yeah. So, anyway, we've got that done. We've talked about the bass, I think, are still hitting down at Cecil Webb.
Yep. And they're starting to actually come off of bed there already. You know, I've heard a few mixed reports of a few fish still on bed there, but most of them have already started to come off of bed at the web. And then the Rotunda lakes, depending on the lake, some of them are still going on to bed, and most of them have already come off of bed.
And I haven't heard anything from Okeechobee or Istipoga lately.
Lake Trafford, the crappie fishing has been off the chain.
Really? It's been that good?
Yeah. Guy in here yesterday, he's going back tomorrow. He said it's been absolutely incredible there. He was there on Sunday, and they caught their limit in like 3 hours, him and his two buddies. Their biggest fish was 16 and a half inches.
And that's 25 fish per person, legal limit on crappie. And
yeah,
there's no size limit, but there is a bag limit of 25 per person.
Yeah, they had a phenomenal time. He said everyone he talked to was just really doing very, very good on the crappie.
And if you're going to travel to Trafford or Istipoga or one of these or Okeechobee, keep in mind you're only allowed a 2-day bag limit in possession. You can't be there for 5 days and keep 25 every day you're there and come back, you know, with 125 crappie. You can only bring 50 crappie fillets in a cooler or 100 fillets, you know, 50 fish.
Right.
And so a lot of people get kind of, I'm getting my bag limit each day. Well, FWC doesn't really like that. I think they've got a 2-day possession bag limit on it.
Yeah, they're pretty hardcore about it.
So
rightfully so, though. I mean, you don't need that many fish. At that point, you're freezing them and stockpiling them, and that's just not worth it. I know it's a small window of opportunity for catching crappie, but
Thing is, you have crappie for dinner that night, and the next night you're eating them fresh, and then you're still allowed your 2-day bag limit to take home.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, anything else we can talk about today?
That's about it. I mean, the only other thing I've heard of that's been pretty decent, too, off the wall is the Oscars have been going crazy down there in the Everglades.
They came back?
Yeah. I've had a couple guys in this week last week that were buying worms to head back down there because they were doing real good down there on 41.
That's great. People, you know, Oscars are, you know, a non-native species that really turned that Everglades around. They were food for everything. They multiply. They eat great. I mean, it's a very tasty fish.
Yeah, I have not gotten to try them, but everything I've heard about them, they're supposed to be really, really tasty. But they're finally starting to make a good enough comeback where a couple guys are traveling down there and getting into them pretty good.
Had it long before I was fishing Frank.
Yeah?
It was that long ago. But nice fish. White, nice,
yeah.
You know, for all the world, I don't know how we describe it. Somewhere between a crappie and a bluegill.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but good eating fish. A lot of fun to catch. Real hard fighters.
And from what I understand, that they don't even get muddy when it gets into the rainy season, the way some of your other fish do. They don't get quite as gritty of a taste.
No, they seem to be a lot more consistent. They hit flies, poppers.
Oh yeah,
beetle spins, worms. But you can get them on a variety of stuff. Very aggressive fish.
Yeah. So. And there is no limit on those.
No. But always keep in mind, as we said before.
Why waste and why?
Take enough to, you know, have a little get together with some friends and call it a day.
There you go.
All right. Let's see. Anything else we can do?
That's about it that I've heard of that jumps out at me.
All right. You sure?
Pretty sure.
Tent sale this year.
Tent sale, yep.
March 15th, going to be a biggie. Mark Nichols, owner of DOA, will be here showing DOAs. Eric, the owner of Mirror Lure, is going to be here showing Mirror Lures.
G. Loomis with Temple Fork Rods.
Gary Loomis, who doesn't do G. Loomis anymore. Gary Loomis, he will be here signing Temple Fork Rods. He will not do anything with Loomis Rods. But if you have a Temple Fork Rod and you want it signed, or if you want to come down and buy a Temple Fork, we'll have fly rods, baitcasters spinning. We've got a big bunch of them ordered, anticipating a lot of people are going to want to meet Gary Loomis. And we've got Rapala, Quantum, the big shots from Penn will be here. They've become kind of a staple. The whole room turns to Penn.
Founder of Star Rods.
Yeah, Barry's going to be here. And
Quantum.
Yeah, so it's going to be a big show. We've got a few other ones we're going, and the fishing club meeting this month, February, is all about cobia. That's at Luigi's, 6:30 p.m., the second Tuesday and Wednesday of the month. And Tuesday is a reserve night. Call the store, 941.
It's already filled up.
Oh, it's all right. Well, we'll have to start booking another night. I'll call Dave and get another night.
Okay.
So, if people start calling, I'll call Dave and get another night, because we should be able to fill one more night.
Okay.
Everybody wants to find out about cobia. It's such an exotic fish. It's like 10 million years ago, a shark and a catfish stuck in a lonely pond somewhere decided to get together.
Yeah.
I mean, because...
Yeah, you see them swimming through the water, and your first instinct every time is shark. I mean, as soon as you see it swimming by, it looks so much like a shark. Then you get it up and out of the water, and they got that weird flat head on them, like a flathead catfish, and everything about them is just so unusual.
Yeah, very prehistoric fish. I mean, it's like, you're basically trying to catch a dinosaur there, it looks like. So, anyway, I guess that's it. Radio Fishing, Fish and Franks, a Fish and Franks production.
Nice.
Exclusively nice on Fish and Franks. I think we're going to do a little Bing Crosby, Louis Armstrong ending to this. And let's see where that goes.
Folks won't find us now because...
That's me and Robert.
Mr. Satch and Mr. Claus, we gone fishing. Instead of just a wishing,
bumpo, baby, bumpo, bumpo, mole.
Oh, yeah.
Can you give me an oh, yeah, Robert?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. See you guys on the next one.